And now, Tales from Caesar, starring Sid Caesar and featuring Milton, DeLug, and his trio. Transcribed from New York City, your Army and your Air Force present that inimitable comedian of stage, screen, and television, Sid Caesar. Welcome. Welcome to our show, Sid. Certainly a pleasure to have you here with us.
Well, thank you very much, Joe Ripley. It's a pleasure to be here.
I take it, Sid, that you know Milton DeLug and the boys here.
Yeah, hiya, Milton.
Hi, Sid. What's new? What's cooking?
Well, I tell you, I heard a very good joke the other day. And, did I tell it to you?
Well, is it funny?
Is it funny? I'm sure it's funny. I'm telling you, it's very funny.
Well, then you didn't tell it to me.
What do you mean I didn't tell it to you?
You don't tell funny jokes. You tell a lot of jokes.
You are not that big to talk to me that way. You know, you're not that tall. Don't talk because I'll get one
fellas. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold it. Break it up now. Now, wait. Sid, let's get back to you for a minute.
Yeah.
You were in the armed forces during the war, weren't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, I was in the United States Coast Guard. And by chance, I happened to get my start in show business.
Well, how'd that happen, Sid? Would you care to tell us about it?
Well, I might as well. You know, when I joined the United States Coast Guard, I just joined as a seaman. Third class. And,
Is there any lower?
That's the lowest, boy. There is nothing lower. Everybody is higher than you. You salute everybody. But, I mean, how I got into show business might be called fate. You see, when I went to the induction center, I went up to a big room, and there were about 300 or 400 other fellas there, and I just happened to be looking out of a window, taking my last look at freedom. And all of a sudden, some fellow with a bunch of stripes on his arm came in and said, "All right, all you fellas on this side of the pole, stand on that side. All the other fellas on that side of the pole." A very genial boy. And he said, "You boys on that side of the room, you're going to Paris Island. You men, you're going to Manhattan Beach." I was on that side of the room. Well, you might call it fate. So I went to Manhattan Beach, and I did my boot training. It's pretty rough. And from there, I was sent to a base where I happened to be very lucky because I was stationed with a very wonderful composer by the name of Vernon Duke. And we formed an orchestra there because I was a musician on the side. And we played the USO dances and Red Cross dances. And in between, I used to just kid around. No material, but just kid around. And we got the show, the idea for the show, Tars and Spars, put together.
Oh, that was the one that was Victor Mature.
That's right. Victor Mature was in it. And we toured the country and finally wound up in Hollywood, making a picture for the services.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, and I was one of the highest paid actors out there for a while.
In Hollywood?
I got $66 every month.
Oh. Sid, I guess...
I didn't have to worry, you know.
No, of course
there every
not.
Month.
Matter of fact, joining the Coast Guard was just about the most important thing you ever did, wasn't it?
Well, I guess it was, Joe.
What are you going to do for us today, Sid?
Well, today I'd like to do my airplane number.
Oh, that was from your first picture, Tars and Spars, the one with all the sound effects in it.
That's right.
I understand that you make all those different noises yourself, Sid, and that you tell the story at the same time.
If it can be done, I'll do it. Well, that's right. Well, and while I'm getting my breath, Joe, my old friend Milton DeLug is going to give us his version of his original composition, Roller Coaster. Okay, Milt? Roll it. Thank you.
Ah, that was fine, Milt. Okay, Sid, got your breath yet?
Okay.
Well, the stage is yours.
Thank you very much, Joe. You know, I was talking about airplane pictures. Now, all these airplane pictures, they're all the same. That's a fact. Now, you just say you're walking into a movie. You grope your way down the aisle. You finally find a seat. You sit down. You get nice and comfortable. And all these airplane pictures, they start out the same way. The first thing you hear is the music. Then way, way, way back in the screen, you see a little speck. It's an airplane. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and finally it swoops up. And on the bottom of the wings is the title. Wings over Bombenschüssel. And we fade into a scene in the briefing room where Colonel Brack is making a speech to his men.
Gentlemen, we are here to pick a volunteer for a very dangerous mission. That of a one-man bombing of Bombenschüssel.
Then we see camera close-ups of different faces, grim. Determined, let me at him, I'll kill him, I'll murder him, make him revengeful. Finally, the whole thing is left up to the two aces of the squadron, Bill and Smiling Jim. But the colonel wishes them all good luck.
Good luck, my boy. Get out and get yourself out and get yourself out. Good luck, my boy. Get up there, get over there. You're up there and fight. I'll stay here.
Now we see Bill and Smiling Jim in the locker room. Two handsome men. One with a mustache. And one without a mustache. That's for the girls who like mustaches and the girls who don't like mustaches. Smiling Jim speaks first. I'll take up the plane. You marry Jane. Bill speaks now. Now, Jim, I'll take up the plane. You marry Jane. Jim goes, look, Bill. Out the window. See out there, quick. Spread it this way. Puts on his flying suit. Zip, out the door. Onto the field into his plane. Contact. Switch on. Turn her over. Switch on. Contact off. Wing flaps up. Generator down. Gasoline valve open. Generator. Check the operator. Check the downrater. Check the operator. Check this. Check the ailerons. Check the tail. Tail somebody okay. Check the center. Check the tail. Check the gyro. Check the radar. It's a very simple plane. Anybody could fly it. Roger. Will somebody tell me who is Roger? Taking off on runway number 4. Clear the field, please. Wind information. Wind northeast by southeast and west across. And watch out for downdrafts. It's outside of the field. Come across upwinds and downdrafts and side sweeps and overcasts. Overcasts and downdrafts. I'm going straight ahead. Taking off now. Lift her up. Lift her up. Lift her up. Lift her up. Lift it up. Lift. It's a heavy plane, you know. Now the scene switches back to Bill Lang, unconscious on the locker room floor. He gets up. What happened? He knows what happened. Runs up the control tower. Says the orderly, "Where's Smiling Jim?" "Just to go up in the plane, sir. Well, get me in contact with him right away." "Yes, sir." Jim, you fool. Bring that plane in immediately, you hear me? Bring that plane in immediately, you fool, you. There's no propeller on it. Now the camera stays with Jim as he flies on to Bombenschüssel. He's always looking down. Down. He never looks up, because that's where the enemy planes are. Finally, we see the enemy planes, 5 of them. And the enemy planes always look so horrible, always black, with a big skull and the crossbones, and the pilots, always with the black mustache, the square goggles, and the black helmets. They look so mean. But the Americans, nice, clean-cut fellas. And the American planes, they always sound so cute. In the enemy planes. Finally, the enemy plane, enemy commander looks down. He sees Smiling Jim. He says to his comrades, Hello! Follow me! No, I'll follow you. smile when Jim looks up, sees the enemy plane's coming down. He swoops his plane up. He's always smiling. He don't know why, but he's always smiling. Gets in position. Opens up. Two enemy planes go down. But still, the enemy planes come on. And the American gets in position again. Opens up. Two more enemy planes go down. He's in trouble. Now there are only two planes left in the sky. The enemy and the American. Gets in position again. Opens up. Jim's guns are jammed. Meanwhile, the enemy plane swoops around, gets a Mac, and Jim opens up. Jim's tail is gone. Again, the enemy plane comes in. Jim's right wing is gone. Again, the enemy plane comes in. Jim's left wing is gone. With no tail. No right wing, no left wing, no machine guns. Head straight for the enemy plane. Now Jim is alone in the sky. He looks down at his other bomber system, opens his bomb base, looks at the bomb site. There goes the ammunition dump. There goes the oil dump. There goes the chemical works. 5 o'clock, Jim goes home.
Thank you very much, Kid Caesar, for a very entertaining performance.
Well, it was a pleasure being here, Joe. And listen, Joe, by the way, I'm all out of breath now. Why don't you tell the fellows listening in on our audience a little seriously something about the Air Force?
I certainly will, Sid. And this message is for high school graduates. You know, there's a future for you in today's United States Air Force. Now you can train for a specific job in one of the 42 career fields under the new Airman Career Program. Under this new program, you actually chart your future, plan the exact steps you'll take along the path of your Air Force career. Get all the facts at your nearest Air Force base or U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force recruiting station, and then judge for yourself. Thank you again, Sid Caesar, and thank you, Milton DeLug, and your very fine group for being here with us. Ladies and gentlemen, this program was brought to you by your Army and your Air Force on behalf of your local recruiting station in cooperation with this radio station and was specially transcribed for presentation at this time. Tales from Caesar starred Sid Caesar and featured Milton DeLug and his trio. The special was written by Sid Caesar and Max Liebman, with dialogue by Sergeant First Class Everett A. Day. The program was directed by Charles Wilkes. This is Joe Ripley speaking for The Voice of the Army. We'll be right back.